Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, what's good? Tale of Two Halves. Okay, I think I'm good with that. I knew this shit was gonna fucking do this, man. Oh man, what the fuck is going on here? Okay. 3:33 waiting. Let's go. Let's go, let's go. Link. Yeah, but you say something again?
Yeah, you can hear me?
Yeah, yeah. You were sounding low, but now.
Check.
Okay. All right. I'm going to tell Edgar to dial in. Okay. Get this damn out of here. Shit on. And a video on, bro. What's going on here? Okay. Video. How is shit doing this?
You're on mute, by the way, bro. You're on mute, right? Yo.
Yeah.
Oh, you got okay. I'm just making sure I'm not bugging.
Yeah, I'm here.
Just making sure I'm bugging. Okay, and just making sure you're good there. Not that one. That one. Perfect. Okay. All right. Perfect. Perfect. Let's move this up. Let's move this up. Where's my window? My highlights going. How's the chat? Bugging? They bugging yet?
Yo, where are these guys, man?
I got the wrong shits.
Not really. One person said you taking a nap.
Oh, okay, cool. All right. It's not the worst thing. Just drop a line like, yo, we about to start in 2 minutes. Like, relax. I'm a little bit behind today. I was supposed to be ahead of the game. So when I go from three people to two, I gotta do a little bit more finagling.
Yeah, I just told them we're starting in a few.
All right. He's lost anyway. Fuck it.
Yeah, at this point.
You know what I'm saying? Like, all right, here we go.
At this point, we just here so we don't get fired.
Right. That's right. Okay. Check, 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 check. Check, check. Dave, can you hear us?
What's going on, guys?
Good, good. Okay, hang tight. You'll be first. Hang tight.
Hang tight. You'll be first. All right, sounds good.
Check, 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 check. Okay. Finished. Okay. What I need to do is save this to one file every time so that it just overwrites and it'll be good. Check, 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 check. Okay. Okay. All right. And can get rid of this and get rid of this. Okay. All right. Check. Okay. All right, here we go. Salute to Knicks Nation on this Wednesday night. Knicks Post Game Live presented by Prize Picks. CP the Franchise, JD Sports Talk on the ones and twos. Knicks in Philly for the return match against the 76ers, the new look Sixers. And as it usually does, things started out well for the Knicks, man. RJ continuing his confident and dominant performance, setting the tone. Julius was in his bag early. You know, both guys are dynamic duos, setting the tone early for the Knicks. Knicks defense playing well, and things look good. But you had to figure in the second half, Philly was going to turn the Jets up, and how would the Knicks respond once they did? And you had to figure that it wouldn't be so well. They wouldn't do so well. And that's exactly what we got. Philly turned it up on both ends of the floor, offensively, defensively. Knicks just had no answers, man. Embiid, Maxey, Harris, Harden. That Philly team just turned it up, and Knicks just could not respond. And Knicks fall again, 123-108. Now losers of 16 of their last 19, 25-37 on the campaign. Salute to everybody in the chat. Hit that thumbs up button for you boys. Knicks Post Game Live presented by Prize Picks. CP and JD on the ones and twos. Well, like I said, bro, game started out well. You know, Julius was in his bag early, in his isolation bag. No doubles from Doc, which was interesting. He had single coverage on Julius. He had RJ once again just being a maestro out of the pick and roll, out of the screens that Mitch typically sets for him. Had the Gotham Lob running, a couple nice Gotham Lob plays to Mitch. Pistol action. 30 points for RJ, 7 of 8 from the free throw line. Knicks defense was pretty tight in that first half. Offensively pushing the pace as they typically do to start these games off. Looking good. But I said, you know, as the Sixers cut that lead in the second quarter, and a lot of it, you know, Embiid really was quiet at that point. And he didn't really see that much energy from the Sixers team. And said, second half is going to be tough. It's going to be a tough one. And that's what we got, man. Sixers turned up their energy, forced a ton of Knicks turnovers. You know when that Knicks offense settles in the half court and becomes disaster all over again. And again, it's not just Harden. It's not just Embiid. What do you do when Maxey starts cooking? 25 points for Maxey, flaming quickly in the second half. You had Tobias Harris hunting Obi in the second half, 14 for Harris. After that, show's over. 123-108. Your thoughts?
You know, it's another frustrating loss tonight. And, you know, at this point, you know, you're looking for development. You're looking for development. You know, you start with RJ. And on a positive end, I know he didn't end the night the most efficient, you know, 9 of 21, but he still showed progress. Specifically, when you start to look at individual moves, you know, the way that he played, you know, we talked about, you know, how teams are now going to, you know, scout and have film on him being the lead guy instead of him being a complimentary player. And tonight he showed some counter moves versus a team that you play on the second time, this time on the road, again on national television. And I counted in the first half, 3 shots in the mid-range.
Yeah.
You know, there was one in the second quarter with 7 minutes left. He shot a mid-range pull-up. That was a nice move. It was an open mid-range, and he took the shot.
Pull-up game was on point tonight.
Yeah, and then he had 2 more other mid-range shots with a contest and made those shots. So, you know, when you start looking at RJ, I think this is now starting to become, CP, something where, you know, are we past the whole 20 points mark, you know, milestone for him? Like, are we past that now where this is now a player that's going to become a consistent 20 points per game or more player. So I think from that standpoint, looking at it from a development standpoint, I think that's a positive. From, you know, the game, listen, another double-digit lead that the Knicks, you know, squandered. And that's not a surprise to me. You know, you're facing a veteran team. You could just feel it. You know, like you mentioned, Embiid was quiet. He wasn't aggressive. You could just tell.
Recording in progress.
The way that they ended the first half wasn't too great. And third quarter, you know, this season, the Knicks are shooting 41% in third quarters the whole season.
19 and points tonight in the third.
And in the third, like you mentioned, 19 points, and there it is, 39% they shoot from the field in the third quarter. So a lot of fans call it third quarter of doom. Well, you saw it tonight. And I'll cap it with this, man. I think at this point, you know, it's just frustrating watching these games, and I'm going to go to it and not seeing the young guys, specifically Deuce McBride, when we continue to see, you know, Alec Burks out there. And to be honest, CP, I know, you know, we joke around about it with Alec Burks and all that, but is it really his fault? You know, like if we sat Alec Burks here behind the scenes, we go backstage and we ask him, you know, do you want to play the point guard for 31 minutes? He'll probably tell you no.
Yeah.
You know, he'll probably tell you that's not my position, my guy. You know, hey, I do what my coach tells me. I don't want to play point guard for 31 minutes. So, you know, yes, it's frustrating. He goes 2 of 11. You know, your backcourt was 3 for 19.
Yeah, Fournier was terrible too. Burks
and Fournier 1 of 9 from 3.
Atrocious.
I mean, this is what you got from your starting backcourt.
Yeah.
And yet you play 131 minutes, the other 27 minutes. And Look at that. Deuce McBride gets in the game, and I don't care. I don't want to hear that it was garbage time. I do not care. I don't care. Don't give me that. Don't give me that, CP. I don't care. You know why? You know why?
Yeah.
Because when he's, you know, leading the G League in three-point percentage, you know, I see you in the messages. Oh, Dick Stauskas, you know, score 57. All right, fine. That's an NBA three, though. It's an NBA three. He made the three. So I look at that, you know, and you see the hustle in terms of defense, full court. And I look at it and I say, listen, at this point, it's not about us thinking what McBride can be. It's just about, yo, you got 20 games left. At what point does it become about, let's see what we have?
Yeah.
And so it's been frustrating to see that. And Cam continues to show, you know, the tantalizing potential and continues to give you flashes and continues to tease, you know, in terms of what he could become with a more, I would say, consistent role, consistent minutes, and maybe more of an emphasis on getting more of his skill set. Not, like I always mentioned, not just having him out there and just standing on the corner, which I think we saw a lot, especially in the second half tonight. But, you know, on to the next game. It's not going to get any easier. The Knicks are 3-16 in the last 19 games. And at this point, man, I don't know where we're going with this head coach.
You know, I think, and you mentioned Cam. Cam looked good. Cam definitely had his high moments, especially in the first half. Want to see him and RJ running together. You know, RJ with that second unit was cooking in that second quarter. You had RJ, IQ, Cam. They had Sims and Obi. You know, that lineup did very well. Cam had his moments, as we said, had a nice feed to Taj for a dunk, nice three-pointer, had to scoop some scoop layups off of his drives. Looked pretty good. Got an and one in the second half. Closed the second half because Fournier was that bad. So Tibbs did play Cam the entire fourth quarter because Fournier was so atrocious. So that was a good run for Cam. I thought that, you know, just looking at the bench, it was almost a tale of two halves for the bench as well because I thought quickly had things cooking on both ends in that first half. And then second half, he was bad. He was atrocious. Maxie was flaming him. And then offensively, hey, the ball was stay. I mean, he ran up the shot clock twice in back-to-back possessions. I believe it was back-to-back. You know, so, again, that's what I was looking at when I'm looking at the first half. I'm like, yeah, you know, we're playing well, but you're really not getting Philly's A game. Like, you could tell that their energy was just not as potent as that first game. What's going to happen when they start turning up the Jets? And that was it. You know, that was pretty much it. Second half started off, and B gets an and one. They go on the other side of the court, force a turnover on RJ, come back, and B gets a three-pointer. And that basically got the ball rolling downhill for the Knicks. And like I said, once things get stuck in the half court for them, nothing good happens.
And this is my, you know, and at some point you lose so many games that – you know, you just take it game by game. And you know, like I said, there's a personnel issue in this roster. That's very evident, right? And mm-hmm. and it's very evident. You know, you mentioned Maxey tonight. You know, these last few games, you could tell a guy like Grimes, the Knicks have missed. You know, the Knicks have missed that player that can be a threat from the perimeter in terms of shooting. And play some defense, and play some physical defense. You know, would have liked to see how he would have played against a Maxey tonight, and the previous game. So, you know, you miss a Grimes, you miss some of these players, but at the same time, CP, you know, again, it just is so frustrating when you see a team make a run against you. And just the lack in terms of offensively, the lack of just adjusting. And I don't want to say so much creativity because there's only so many plays in terms of type of plays you can run on an NBA court. You know, it's not like the NFL where You can run different route trees, and you can run different types of schemes offensively in the NFL, audibles and all that stuff, be creative, gadgets and tricky plays. Mm-hmm. You know, in the NBA, there's only so much you could run, but one thing that you can control is who you feature, when you feature it, and play calling. You can control that because mm-hmm. we see it a lot of times, especially when Fournier is out there, where – you know, if it's not RJ, then you'll see Fournier and Randle play a two-man game.
Yeah.
And it just baffles me how we see these flashes from Cam, and we just don't, you know, we don't just say, okay, he makes a basket, and then the next play we don't try to involve him. We don't try to see, you know, there was one play where IQ has Tobias Harris, who's a 6'9 forward, an athletic forward, mind you. IQ, who, you know, one of his struggles is getting by a bigger athletic player. It's been one of his struggles early on in his career. And Millsap is on Cam Reddish. And I just I'm looking at the personnel on the court, and I'm like, why don't we just give the ball to Reddish? Let's ISO or let's run something, and let's see if he can take advantage of a matchup like that. That's a much better matchup to me than IQ on Tobias. You know how that possession ended up? IQ taking a three on a 6'9 guy that contested the shot in a miss. That's not productive basketball. It's not smart basketball. And those are the little plays that goes unnoticed when you watch a game that leads to the other team gaining confidence and evidently the other team knowing how to scheme against you. So
that's true.
You know, we talk about, you know, potentially an offensive coordinator for Tibbs. I don't buy it because to me he's running the show, and I don't know how flexible he is
He's got to be willing to take that feedback, you know, or be willing to work with somebody. And, you know, based on the reports we got, seems like he's the one running the show. And, you know, little input in that magnitude as far as the offensive coordinator, I don't see it happening. Shout out Hasib Mayan. He says, yo, CPJD sends a super chat. He says, I was at the game tonight. First half looked good, but like usual, second half always comes to hurt us, and we blow leads. Yeah, well, they started blowing the lead late in the second quarter, but and once they did that, you had to figure that the second half was going to be tough. And again, when Philly's throwing two MVPs at you, and then, oh, by the way, they still got a max playing Tobias Harris, and they got Maxey. I mean, those are four guys who are shot creators who can kill you in isolation. And they all took their turns doing it. And then, you know, Philly also turned it up from three-point land. They hit 47% from three, 84% from the charity stripe on 33 attempts. Knicks, conversely, 68% from the free throw line on 32 attempts. And only 8 for 28 from downtown. So, you know, you're looking for that firepower, especially from Fournier, 0 for 5 tonight. Burks, 1 for 4 tonight. RJ didn't have, you know, 3 for 8 for RJ. Quickly 1 for 3. You know, couldn't match a firepower. So if your defense isn't going to be able to sustain, which the Knicks defense certainly hasn't, you got to hope that you can, you know, match them on the other end. And that's how you get the result that you get. So to everybody in the chat, once again, hit that thumbs up button for you boys. CPJD on the ones and twos. Let's hear from the people, man. Knicks lose 123 to 108. Let me go to the Discord. Dave on the Discord. Dave, what's going on?
What's going on, guys? You guys doing all right tonight?
Yeah, man. How you feeling? Hey, one for the tank, Dave. One for the tank. And RJ is maintaining his hot streak. I'm not mad at that.
And McBride got minutes.
That's exactly.
And then McBride got 1 minute off of his G League All-Star appearance. Hey, I'm not mad at it.
That shot was beautiful.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's one shot, and everyone's going to lose their mind over it. But I was talking to somebody on Twitter earlier today. They were like, something about I need to see the team win. And I'm at the point this, like, obviously I want the team to win every game they ever play.
Yeah.
At the same time, I'm like, I want to see a competitive game where RJ continues to develop and we lose to get a better draft pick. And that's exactly what we got for the most part tonight. Simple. RJ, now I said a few weeks ago, I thought he might be a better shooting version of Jimmy Butler. I was way wrong. He might just be a better version of Jimmy Butler, period. The pace he plays with, the way he's attacking now, he looks like he can just go get a bucket whenever he wants one.
Confidence is through the roof right now. The confidence is through the roof with him.
He's hitting that shot where he comes across the lane and stops and hits that little mid-range jump shot. That's
the one we want.
Yes. If he can keep hitting that, real quick for you guys, do you think this team can move forward with Julius? Because I keep watching this team, and you can see Julius and RJ have flashes together. You see him have flashes separately. But at the same time, it's like I can't see the team moving forward to contention later on down the road with a guy like Julius, who's not going to want to give up that number one spot to RJ, or then the second spot to Cam, or touches to our future point guard. So I think the front office has to move Julius this offseason and get a point guard. And then Cam has to start, man. I can't watch Evan Fournier out there just staring at Tyrese Maxey as he's about to shoot a three and take like 100 years to get out there because he's just so slow.
Yeah, Fournier was terrible tonight. He was terrible tonight. We'll just keep it a buck. It's on Sunday's game. He was good. Tonight, not so good. Not good at all.
So. But RJ and Cam look good together, man.
They look good, man. You want to see those minutes. And I love RJ running with that second unit. And I don't know if it was Dave that had asked that that question on the last postgame. You know, how do we get them going consistently? And tonight was one of those nights where, Tibbs did stack the lineups and had RJ cooking with that second unit. Julius had his opportunities with the starters. What will they do moving forward? Again, I don't think they're going to sell low on him. I really don't see them selling low on him, not in the near term. I think they'll try to add and see if they can bring in another guy that helps both of these guys get better. So that's left to be seen, man. Left to be seen. Okay, bro.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, this is what happens when you make these type of moves and now you're stuck in this, battle between what's best for the organization and then what's best in terms of how can you get – what do you do to maximize a player so that you can get rid of him? Because if you bench Fournier and you just decrease his minutes exponentially like to 15, for example, okay, but do you think that helps his value?
Not at all.
It's tough. I think if you're going to start him, that's fine, but you can start someone and not give him significant minutes.
Yeah.
He also doesn't have to play 27 minutes. Give him a little 22 minutes. I think 20, 22 minutes is perfectly fine. Let him go 3-for-5, 2-for-4 from three. Like, let him do some of those. But even when he's playing well, I'm not even trying to play him 30, 40 minutes. It just doesn't make any sense. Create a little bit of a minute game with him and just leave it the way it is and let everyone, like today, Cam, like you mentioned, plays the whole fourth quarter. Fournier started, Cam plays the whole fourth. Like, let's start looking at that. And right now, they're stuck with that. And because Fournier has an additional year.
Yeah. But see, I could see that type of rotation starting the year off next year and ultimately – swap.
Wait. Are you trying to tell me that I got to deal with Evan Fournier starting next season?
Bro, if Tibbs is the coach, oh, I just lost it. Okay. If Tibbs is the coach, you were so beside yourself, your cord came out. If Tibbs is the coach, barring a miracle, barring a Fournier injury and Cam jumping into the starting lineup right now. Yeah, I can see that happening, bro. I haven't seen the evidence to show me otherwise. I don't see Cam just assuming the starting role next season, barring any miracles. But I could see something like this tonight where he's closing more games. Tibbs is a coach, bro. Tibbs is the coach. Tibbs is the coach.
Wow. I'm flabbergasted.
What have we seen to show us otherwise? That's all I'm saying. What have we seen to show us otherwise? What have we seen, bro? He didn't even want to play the kid when he got here. Now we have to assume that he's going to start him next year. I'm not so sure about that. And people say it's my take. Watch the game. Watch the coach. Watch the coach. Listen to what the coach is telling you. Watch how he handles it. You, the same people in the chat complaining about the rotations, now telling me I'm way off by saying that Tibbs is going to start Evan Fournier next year over Cam Reddish. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? I'm just, when I tell you how to be realistic, nobody wants to be realistic. Everybody wants to be in La La Land. Okay.
Well, man, this front office has a Tibbs decision to make.
They got
it doesn't surprise me. You know why? Because look at tonight. You know, he could not help himself. He could not help himself. You know why he could not help himself? Because there you have it. Taj Gibson with 14 minutes. More, a minute more than Jericho Sims. You know he couldn't help himself. He's trying to win so bad that doesn't really know where to go. That those could have been Jericho Sims minutes. Gave you 6 rebounds. You know, he was 1-for-1, only took 1 shot.
Yeah.
I get it that he's, even offensively, he's not going to look with no point guard. You know, he's already limited as it is. But you see tonight where he tries to go to Taj, and you know, the coach is trying to win. And it's just mind-boggling to me at this point. It's mind-boggling that you're going to play Alec Burks 31 minutes and McBride gets a minute. It's just – I don't get it, CP. Why is McBride not playing, CP?
That I don't have an answer for you, bro. You know, like I said, I don't have an answer for you there. Because
the plug doesn't even have an answer.
It's
how mind-boggling
it is. It's not only bad for the team. It's bad for my guy, Burks. He can't even cook. No more miss the fourth quarter. He's forcing shots off the pick and rolls just to try to get involved in the game. He's way off his game, bro. Way off his game. I can't even watch. I'm embarrassed for the guy, man.
Look at you trying to.
No, I'm dead serious. I can't even watch Burks at run the point, bro. I have no confidence that it's ever gonna go well. Because that was never his true role in this game.
Like, how about, you know what? You want to play Burke so much? Play him with McBride. How about that? Let's see that. Let's see him play with McBride, right? And it's like, let's see them play with McBride. You want Burks to bring the ball up a few times? Give him that. All right, fine.
Yeah.
But, like, the notion that you're trying to win, which obviously I believe he is, but then we're not seeing a guy that can give you stuff that can lead to wins or can lead to productive basketball in terms of what he asks as a coach. Because I don't want to hear about his, like, I'm hearing about McBride's readiness as a point guard. Hello, this is not even an offensive coach. This guy wants defense. He wants hustle. He plays hard. How many times he goes crazy on his own young players when they play, when they miss a defensive rotation? At least with McBride, he may miss an assignment because he's learning NBA assignment defense, rotational defense, but at least on-ball defense, hustle and effort, you're going to get that from him. So I also don't know, CP, why he's not playing. And at this point, I don't even know if we're going to see him more than what we're seeing right now.
Probably not until they're mathematically eliminated. I'll tell you that at this point. Let's go to the phone. Sam on the Discord. Sam, what's good?
Hey. Before I start, a tweet by Fred Katz just came out,
mm-hmm.
and I just want your reaction on this.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Thibodeau said regarding the point guard issue, that's the best we have, so that's what we're doing, and they're capable. I'm more concerned about our defense and our offense, who scored plenty of points.
Wow.
Let's first of all, you didn't score plenty of points because otherwise you would have won the game. That's one. They're capable. It looks like you're struggling with the playmaking, my friend. I don't know. Tom Thibodeau's on something. I don't know what. Let me start digging into him. Starting rotations. We're seeing Embiid and James Harden get staggered, And it looks like Randall and RJ in the game longer than Embiid and Harden. And as a result, it means your players are slightly more tired.
Yeah.
And so I don't feel like they finished the game strong because your best guys are a bit more tired because they're playing the entirety of the first and the entirety of the third.
Yeah, Julius practically played the entire third. And by the end of it, he was running like a chicken without a head. He was all over the place, man. Yeah, he was gassed, bro. He was gassed.
And no, once again, I'm going to question the Randall and RJ floor chemistry because once RJ sits, Randall goes a little bit on a run.
Mm-hmm.
Randall sits, RJ completely take over.
Yeah.
He's got 7 assists tonight, 3 to Mitchell Robinson. Okay, Mitchell Robinson, who wants to get involved in the offense.
Got the mob, man.
RJ seems like the only guy to do it, and it's the perfect combo. You got a left-hand driver, and he's going to throw it up, and you have a right-hand dunker. It works.
Yeah.
And on this late game, I get you're down by 10. And I hate this thing where we're just chucking up threes. I know that's how you get into the game, but you have to make it so the offense isn't just guarding the three-point line. Otherwise, it's just bad shots. So you have to be able to drive so it threatens the defender where they need to also back up and opens up the three-point shot for you. That's how you get back into the game. You
yeah.
drive and you get back on transition defense. That way you could get this stop. That way you could transition back into the game. Chucking up threes is just the shot.
They got desperate.
Economically, it makes sense, but the game consistency yeah. and the flow of the game makes no sense.
They do the same thing all the time, bro. Every time. When the pressure turns up, they start settling on the perimeter, dancing around the perimeter, chucking up threes.
Right. Right.
And they go away from what got them there.
Right, and we're talking about this three-point shot, and Tibbs last year was talking about taking the right shots. This year, it just looks like we're taking 4 shots.
Mm-hmm.
Catch and shoots are the bread and butter of making becoming a three-point shooting team. We are 25th in catch and shoot made threes, and that's on 22 attempts from catch and shoot. Now, to compare it, I know this is the Warriors, but let's just compare it.
Mm-hmm.
61% of our three-point shots are catch and shoot. The Warriors, who lead the league in three-point shots, 75% of their shots are on catch and shoot.
Mm-hmm.
That big jump in percentage is about, I want to say, 10, 12, 13 points. That's a huge difference.
Yeah. But our offense is nowhere near the fluidity and the cohesiveness.
Right, right. Yeah. And look, on the McBride thing, I'm hoping it just turns out like Jordan Poole. He spends this year in the G League. Maybe next year he comes out and starts ripping it up. But who the heck knows with Tom Thibodeau?
All right, man. Hang tight, man. Good call, Sam. Good call. We got the West Coast Watch on coming up, man. So we're going to need you, bro. Breaking down some games. So I think that'll be Friday and Sunday.
Yeah, you got it.
All right, man. Sam,
that tweet
Discord.
Is going everywhere.
That tweet is going viral. I'm about to retweet myself. I like chaos. Let's go.
Wow.
Yeah. So look, as I've been saying, it's been pretty clear. You don't trust him. You don't trust him.
Good God. Like how CP?
Yeah.
This guy said.
Best option we got right now.
What is it? We said that's the best we have.
Best we have. So that's what we're doing, and they're capable.
And there's another one. There's like a sentence more on Fred Katz. He said, "I'm more concerned about our defense than our offense. We score plenty of points."
Well, he does have a point on that, bro. He does have a point there.
Oh, really? He's more concerned about defense. You know, it's funny. It's funny because McBride had an interview on Shootaround today, and McBride said that he still believes his defense will be his bread and butter. And he said staying in front of elite guards is something that I want to do, and it's something that I think I'm going to do. You know, it just baffles me. We talk about a coach that says a comment like that. How do you think McBride feels? I mean, I would say Quickly, too, but I don't even know if Quickly himself thinks he's a point guard at this point. But still, Like, how do you think a rookie guard who's coming into the league as a combo guard, point guard, he probably believes he can be a point guard, and you're in a situation where you're playing a 6'5 guard wing player, and then your head coach, and you're a rookie, and you haven't received an opportunity. That's why they mentioned IQ, because IQ has received an opportunity. You're a rookie. You haven't received an opportunity. You've done everything that's been asked of you. And I don't want to hear about practice. Don't tell me about practice. Teams don't practice now. This is not – like, teams don't practice now. Like, that's nonsense to me. It's training camp. They may have a practice in a team that had Kemba here and Noel. Who are you practicing with? So it's walkthroughs. Just check the NFL, too. It's walkthroughs. It's a different era. So this notion about practice, it irritates me because it's nonsense, right? And your head coach says that? How do you think he feels? How do you – I just don't understand, man.
Kids just got to stay hungry and keep putting in the work, bro. That's all you got to do, man. His time will come. You just got to stay hungry, put the work in, man. Dan from New Jersey. Dan, what's going on, man? How you feeling, man? How you feeling, man? I know you're the tank commander, but we got no Deuce McBride in this game, man. Give us your thoughts, bro.
Caloque. Wah, wah, wah. How you guys doing, man? How you guys doing?
Yeah, I'm all right, man. RJ played well, and the tank is rolling, bro. Let's go.
Man. Listen. You already know, man. But listen, we got to start having some serious discussions about RJ's ceiling, man. Too many people, Knicks fans included, are trying to tell me what RJ Barrett's ceiling is, man, to the point that I'm starting to question people were lying about the fact that he can't ever in a million years be the number one option on a playoff team. I don't buy it, man. I mean, 21 years old, you're putting up 46 and putting up 30, at least 20 on a nightly basis now that we've made you the focal point of our offense. I mean, listen, man, I'm starting to get to the point that if we're not going to play Deuce McBride, who's out here playing like Will Chamberlain, Oscar Robertson back in the 70s, like we got to start rocking with RJ at the one and leave Burks in the dust, man. That's it. Listen, if I'm wilding, go ahead and tell me, but RJ is a good creator. I would say he's actually an underrated passer, man. I see him do those wraparound passes.
Yeah.
I think he could play in the pick and roll a little bit, man. I seen him hit those lobs to Mitch. I've seen RJ find Mitch more times today than I've ever seen Burks find anybody in his life. So tell me if I'm wanting RJ at the one. Let's go.
Well, I don't know about being at the one. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know about that. But he certainly showed since his rookie year, man, RJ's been showing flashes like this out of the pistol action. I mean, he's been showing it. We've been having these discussions about playing him at the one since his rookie year. I don't think you want to put him at the point. But as we've been seeing, you know, giving him more responsibilities with the ball in his hand, running more plays for him, allowing him to gain confidence and be aggressive, it's a great thing. It's paying dividends.
Seven assists tonight.
Seven dimes tonight. How many did he have in the last game? Six?
Yeah, I believe it was six.
Yeah. Got them lob. Three to Mitch. So let's go, man. Like I said, his confidence is through the roof. I'm loving it. Let's go to St. Louis. JJ, what's good?
What's up, CP, JD, man? Much love, man. How y'all doing?
How you feeling?
Man, I'm good, man. Hey, third part of the season is done, man. I've been checking in, you know what I'm saying, my little quarters of the season, man. And this was a dud, man. The season was a dud, man. I'm highly disappointed. It won't be perching it, no jerseys this summer, you know what I'm saying. Only when we got to win a season, I like to do my purchases, you know what I'm saying, represent for the team. But none this summer, lose the season, we don't do that. So it just seems like, you know, we missed out on our draft picks. And so the organization just went with Tibbs' plan, and it didn't work out. You know, you got Tibbs, you know, yelling at rookies, and, you know, late in the season, you know, when they're supposed to be getting the most of their opportunities. And that just shows you, you know what I'm saying, the character of the coaches is not where it's at right now. Shouts out to Drew, man. Honestly, he's been working with RJ so much, man. I noticed after the before the Laker game, he got it in with him, and he came out with a big game. And, you know, same with that game. He first came back, you know, with the 46, you know, He's been working with him, and that bag gonna keep opening for him. And we said this his rookie year. I don't even think he had a true rookie year as many as games he's missed, and of course with the COVID situation. So last year, to me, honestly, was his true rookie year. That's how I look at it. And, you know, I've been saying it from the beginning. You know, he gets to the cup as the same as, you know, DeMar DeRozan, and you know he's just getting better and better. You know, we all say it all the time. 21 years old, it's unbelievable what that bag gonna do when it opens up. I'm a little bit about Cam, man. I don't think he never really got a true opportunity at Atlanta. You know, he didn't ever get that first round draft treatment just because of the guys they got in that round as well. So I think if he, you know, for his next year, he has to see the six or better role, you know, for his, like, maybe even starting. So I would like to see that out of him because that's the only way we're going to open up his bag, and that's the way it got to go. We got to get inside that top five draft pick, man. That's what I want to see us at. We got to get a point guard. I just need a true point guard. Right now I'm in the Batman tank, so that's how it's going to be. Hey, coming from the middle of the map, much love.
Let's go. Jay, let's go. Salute. And speaking of tank, who saw that that Purdue versus Wisconsin game last night? You saw that game last night, bro?
Of course.
Ivy versus what's the other kid?
Johnny Davis.
That was a game, man. What a finish. Boy, Ivy just came and pulled up top of the key. Then Wisconsin hit the elbow three to win it. That was a great game.
Yeah, you saw some of the stuff that, you know, you've been seeing. A lot of times you see YouTube highlights, so all you see is the highlight. All you see is the positive play. So to be able to see a game and see the ups and downs, you know, they were going at it. And Johnny Davis showed you a lot of his scoring ability.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
I mean, this guy went from like 7 points to 21 or something like that this season. That's a crazy jump. And then Ivy, man, it's hard not to think about Ja Morant when you look at Ivy.
I'm telling you, bro. I'm telling you. And the way Ja Morant is terrorizing the league right now. Give me Jaden Ivy, man. Give me Jaden Ivy. So to everybody in the chat, once again, hit that thumbs up on the Free Boys. Knicks Postgame Live presented by Prize Picks. CPJD on the ones and twos. 1,800 people in the chat. Go ahead and do me a favor. Hit that like button right now. Hit that subscribe button and the notification bell. We are on the way to 50K, closing in on 49,000 right now. So definitely hit that subscribe button. Let's get it going. If you guys are new in the chat, leave us a hashtag new. We'll shout you guys out. Shout out, got you open, big time fan of the show. Sends us a super chat. Appreciate that. We got the Rhyme Animal Chuck D in the Moz chat right now, vibing, frustrated, I'm sure.
Shout out to Chuck D, man. Knicks are not doing well. Chuck D still rocking with us.
Still rocking with us. Yeah, and he does send a super chat. He says, deuces, treatment has been wild. Our vets are not tradable. If the future Las Vegas and Seattle expansion teams can use them, as well as Tibbs. There's no room in the current league. Our vets are stuck with us. A lot of frustrated fans, man. This is a good one for the tank, though, man. We'll keep it pushing. Going to Phoenix against a tough matchup. Phoenix Suns team. No book. No CP3. Should still be a tough one for us. So we'll see what happens on Friday night.
You know, it's crazy. Like the last few games, I know they've lost by double digits. But it's like they've shown you flashes in the middle of the game where you're like, man, they might win this game.
Bro. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you're like, oh, wait, they might actually win this game.
Yeah.
Tank trade, that's in trouble. And I know, obviously, you know, they go back to who they are right now. But they have shown you these flashes.
Bro, they always
like,
do. They always do.
And I know when that happens, Tibbs is like, uh-oh, we're going to win now. Burks, come on, Burks.
I mean, the last few games, man, they're in it. They're in it, to, you know, and then second half, it just comes apart, man. Shout out to Cam Cooper 552. What's going on, Cam? We got Angel Carrer in here. Angel, how you feeling? See a lot of hashtag PEs in the chat. Salute and Chuck. Salute. Who else we got? Boogie Down BX. Lockheed Walt Whitaker. How you feeling, Lockheed? How you feeling? All right, back to the phones we go. What we want to hear from right now? Heard from Jay. Let's go to ATL. Josh, what's going on?
What's going on, fellas, here? Shout out to the show. I always love tuning in after the games, listening in or listening on the playback on the way to work. But just wanted to quickly check in. Obviously, watching the game, great to see R.J. Barrett have a 30-point night, even though it wasn't efficient. Watching this young guy, this cornerstone piece, continue to develop into something good and potentially great. is always good to see, but then that leads into the bad news, man. Just like every other fan, man, I want to see Tibbs and I want to see Julius out of there. And I hear you guys have been talking about this same topic for the past week or so. I've heard all your takes on it, but it's like, if this front office is watching what we're watching, I don't understand how they don't have the same takes. And I understand there's assets and politics and a lot of other things that goes along with it. But if they are serious about building a winner, like long-term winner, I don't see how you go into next season with Tom Thibodeau and Julius Randle. I don't think there's enough moves that can be made in the summer to give Tibbs the roster that he needs to compete like he wants to.
But so, what gives you the thought that automatically selling low and getting rid of both of those guys puts us in a better position?
I just think giving RJ the keys and just trying to go into a direction to where we're building around RJ and the young pieces that we have. I think that's better than continuing to try to chase this mediocrity that Thibodeau is trying to chase. He's trying to win games now, and it seriously looks like he's tanking. And I don't see how this is going to be, you know, productive in any way. But that was just my take, man. Obviously, I want to hear what you guys have to say. Y'all have a great one.
Yeah, cool. I mean, look, they have to figure out, again, which direction they're going to be looking ahead in into the off season. I don't think it's going to be – hold on, let me turn this down. I don't think it's going to be a wholesale, you know, sell-off. I think they will look to tweak. I think they'll look to, again, try to part ways with some of these veteran contracts that they picked up because none of them have worked out well. So I think they'll try to, you know, rid themselves of some of those. I don't see them selling on Julius Lowe. I think they'll add to it. I don't think they'll fire Tibbs after this season. I think they'll give him a shot. And if he flops again halfway through, I think he's out of there. But if you're going to tell me that they're going to fire the coach who took him to the playoffs in the first time in 8 years and won coach of the year, then they're not going to do that.
You got to get rid of him, Max.
I didn't say that was my opinion. I'm just saying, check out the Ian Begley report. Begley agreed with me. He thinks he'll make it into the next season. I think he'll make it into the next season.
That was then, though. They've done a lot of losing since.
They have. They certainly have.
So
they certainly have.
There was also reports that the Knicks were going to move all these players for Cam Reddish, and did that happen? It did not happen either. So
I don't,
you know.
I don't see it.
This front office is clueless.
I just don't see it. I don't see how you roll. They're clueless in the sense that they need to put the horses out there on the court, bro.
Right.
They got to go out there and get the players.
You can make the argument they deserve more blame.
Yeah.
I'm 100% on board. But one of the things they've shown in terms of their weakness is the lack of being able to identify fit, the word fit.
Yeah.
They haven't identified that from a player standpoint with Kemba and Fournier, right? They haven't identified that was a fit when you already have RJ and Randle in your starting five and you don't see that this could be a miss.
I don't know, bro. I don't agree with for the simple fact that, bro, we had no shooters last year. Like, Bullock was cool, but we were looking for somebody who could create a little bit more on his own. I didn't mind the Fournier thing. I didn't mind.
But your coach is defensive minded.
Right, but you can't just have who you want to go get.
That's why
he wanted
Bullock. He wanted Bullock over Burks, and Burks can create more than Bullock. Bullock is just a cornered shooter. And it was because of his defense.
I get it.
And this year, he's lost his mind.
Yeah.
He doesn't know what to do defensively with the personnel that he's making. And Kemba, when you look at a team that's playing Burks right now, I wouldn't put it past Tibbs, like, or this team having that as an option.
Yeah.
When before the Kemba, I wouldn't put it past this team thinking that, hey, you know what? We'll go in the season with Rose, and then Burks is the backup. Because look what's happening now. I could put past this front office with the decision making of you hired a coach that, I mean, you have a relationship with him. Fine. Okay. What does that mean? Because now you have William Wesley going to Dolan saying it's Tip's fault. So what was the relationship for? What type of relationship did you have? And it's year two after he won Coach of the Year.
Here's the thing. I think the free agency thing this year was tricky because the class was so weak. How much were they in with DeRozan? That I would like to know. I don't think we got a clear answer on that, if he was even a viable option for them. And would they have been willing to invest what Chicago did? Chicago didn't just pay him. It was a signing trade. Were they willing to go there for DeRozan, and how would he have fit in this equation with RJ and Julius here? You know what I'm saying? A lot of fans were against it. There were some fans who were like, go get DeRozan. But how would he have fit? I think once you saw what had happened in that Hawks series, we were looking for guys in particular with 48. Now, Powell was my pick. Norman Powell was my guy. But they were looking for the guys who, because Powell is a good two-way player. He can defend, and he's a solid three-point shooter. But they were looking for guys that were a bit more mobile than what Bullock could give you, who's more of a stationary catch-and-shoot guy. All right, he might pump fake you a little bit, take a sidestep, and chuck up a three. But that's about it. He's not putting the ball on the floor. That Hawks series showed that when they had Trae Young parked on him, he was rendered useless. It was like that Novak effect in the playoffs. Novak was lights out until they started running him off the three-point line, and then he had the yips. He wasn't even the same guy. So they were looking for that. So I didn't necessarily mind that. Now, Powell got the 5-year deal, 96. Fournier got the 4, I think 74, I think.
74. 70.
How close were they on Powell? Did they want to go 5? Was 5 too much? Clearly 5 was too much for Portland. They traded him. Clearly the 5 was too much for Portland. They said, whoa, we're trading this guy. The Kemba thing was just so low risk, man. That thing just fell into their lap. So I don't know. It's hard to really.
They went for the story, CP. That's what they did. They went for the storyline.
With Kemba,
the home,
so?
The New York thing. Yeah, because there was no interest.
Would you have rather Schroeder? Because Schroeder was gettable. Sure, Schroeder could have been had, bro. Would you have rather them go and get Schroeder at the time after they had signed Rose? Because remember, first Schroeder was out there, bro.
I can't. I'm not going to say yes because, you know, I, at the time I said, you know, I'll stick to my guns. I'll say that, you know, I didn't see Dennis as a fit here.
Right.
But, CP, Tibbs can't be here next year, bro.
Bro, I totally get it. I totally get it.
You just said that, you know, you just talked about his inability to play the young guys. Do you realize if we don't get a top four pick, I have zero confidence that if we get the seventh pick and we draft a Johnny Davis or a Benedict Mathurin, these guys ain't playing next year. Obi was what? Obi was number 8? Like, this guy's not playing this year, and this is going to be one. This is going to be the most important draft pick of Leon Rose.
Very.
They can't miss this pick. But then you're going to tell me that we're going to draft a top 10 player, and he's going to play 13, 11 minutes next year? While I guarantee you, whoever's in the top 5 might even all be starters. Come on. Like, it doesn't fit. And it's okay. Like, I respect Tibbs, accomplished coach, the whole nine. But his style just doesn't fit with what the team should be trying to accomplish. Doesn't fit.
That's a fair point.
Doesn't. We're going to be here next year on the post games talking about why is this guy not playing? You just said Fournier is going to start next year if he's here.
Yeah, I think so. I don't see why not. I mean, people are gauging more for this game. Fournier's played well. Fournier's played well in the second half of the season, bro.
He's going to be 30 slower. It's just
Look, my thing is this, and I've said it a couple of shows now. You go ahead and fire Tibbs. But if you don't put proper pieces in here, you're going to run Johnny Bryan out of town in 2 years as well, man. It's going to be the same thing. You got a lot of guys that are around the same talent level. They are average role players who have up and down games. They are going to be average at best.
But
they may overachieve there. If you give Johnny Bryan this round, it's going to be the same problems.
If whoever's the next head coach, if it doesn't work out, everybody's gone anyway. So I'm not concerned about that. Everyone's gone. Once they make the decision on Tibbs, you know how this works.
Mm-hmm.
So with the Giants, Jason Garrett, coordinator, is the first one gone. Then it goes to the head coach and the GM. The head coach is gone. Front office, you're on the clock. So the whole Johnny Bryan thing, I mean, I feel like you could buy a year for him, especially if Johnny Bryan goes kids, he goes youth, and they show some promise. I don't think going into next year the expectation is going to be, yo, give me a top five seed. Like, Knicks fans are smart. They know what's going on. You know, obviously you want to see progress. But I actually think while Johnny Bryan may have losses, a lot of losses in his, you know, stats and coaching record, the organization could actually move forward, a step forward next year, than if you go back to the veteran coach who's from day one, all he's going to do is try to win. You mean to tell me that Tibbs comes the third year, you think what he's doing this year is crazy? He knows next year he's on the clock, and he knows he might not even get 20 games. So what do you think he's going to do those first 20 games? RJ's playing 40 minutes. Randall's playing 40 minutes. Everybody's playing 40. Might be a 7-8-man rotation.
That's a fact.
So it just doesn't fit. I just don't see how it gets.
Either way, it doesn't matter if I'm coaching, you coaching, or Chuck D's coaching. The front office got to do a better job of putting a better roster on the court.
That's a fact.
And
they're on the clock starting this
offseason. It starts in the draft. Because, yes, they were not there when they botched the Frank draft. Frank was a botch. That's a lottery pick that's not even on your team. Knox is a botch. That's a lottery pick that Kevin Knox might not even be in the league in the next 2 years. And I'm telling you, the Obi thing with the whole Randall situation and Obi being the type of player that he is, he's not going to be an impact player for this Knicks team. And I'm saying it now. I've been saying it from last year, bro. That's a lottery pick. That's doing nothing for you right now. That's 3 out of the last 4 years they whiffed. Completely whiffed. So they got to start getting these things right, man. They got to start getting these things right. And then, you know, can they get a sign and trade going this offseason or trade off some of these pieces and try to get a better fit, as you say, for this rotation? Those are two things. Need a point guard. I think they could do it a stretch five in Taj's spot or Noel's spot, whatever you want to call it, third center, a stretch five. Definitely need a point guard. And go from there.
I don't know, man. That this pick is going to be the crown jewel of this front office.
Yeah, yeah.
And if I'm the front office, I want to make sure that player plays so I can show James Dolan. Because remember, RJ's blossoming. Guess what? RJ wasn't Leon's pick.
Yeah.
RJ wasn't Leon's pick, my guy. He wasn't Leon's pick. You know? So all this thing about they draft well, we're going to find out in this draft, really, if they draft well. Because it's good to get the 25th pick and a second round pick.
Right.
Those are going to be rotational players.
Right. They pull out value there. And we've seen that. They pull out value there. But at the top, you've got to hit at the top, bro. Because now look at the roster that they're stuck with right now, bro. You have two guys that are, yes, head and shoulders above the rest. But then any other night, you just don't know what you're getting from anybody here, rookies or vets. All right, let's go back to the phones. Good talk. Knicks Post Game Live presented by Prize Picks. Let's go to the Discord. Let me hear from Will Mack. Will, what's going on?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, man. How you doing?
It's funny that you guys brought up the draft because that was actually what I was going to talk about.
Okay.
You know, it's frustrating watching the Knicks because you're like, what is the biggest problem the Knicks have, you know, watching Brooks at point guard? And it's like, yeah, the point guard position. And, you know, that – problem would be solved if we would have just drafted Haliburton. So it's really, really key that we nail this draft coming up. you know, last night I was watching the Purdue-Wisconsin game, and, man, Jaden Ivey looks great. Johnny Davis looks phenomenal. I'm really looking at those two guys. Wanted to ask who you guys were looking at the draft next year and also what the Knicks' approach should be. Obviously, it's a point guard, but, you know, as the draft history goes, teams are more successful by drafting by just who's the best player available, not by need. But I'm thinking the Knicks definitely need to draft a point guard. But, you know, history, we don't know. So I wanted to hear what your guys' take was on that. And,
I mean, look, you certainly don't want to force it. Obviously, you know, best player available, depending on who that guy is, if he's head and shoulders or potentially could be head and shoulders over what you have now, then you go for it. But I think ideally this team needs a point, man. This team needs a point. Now, will they go for it in the draft? It doesn't have to be draft. It could be free agency. It could be trade. But they need some stability at that position. Look at what we have right now. They need stability at the position. As far as players, we'll get into draft later on this season. You know, JD can probably give you a better idea on the prospects right now. I haven't even started watching college hoops. I'll start getting into it around tournament time, and then as the season progresses, we'll start having some of our draft commentators on and analysts on and start breaking down prospects and whatnot.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, if the Knicks don't land in the top four, where, you know, projections right now, Jabari Smith, Jaden Ivey, Chet Holmgren, or Paolo Banchero, they don't land there. I'm pretty confident one of A.J. Griffin from Duke, or Mathurin, Johnny Davis, or Ty Washington, one of those four will likely probably be a New York Knick. Just because this is not a deep draft at all, and everybody's trying to get into that top four.
Yeah.
And outside of that, Ty Washington is the Kentucky connection. I think that's probably the next point guard you're looking at after Jaden Ivey. It's not a strong point guard draft. So you have the Kentucky connection. There's going to be a ton of Ty Knicks rumors. But after that, I'm really liking this Mathurin kid. Like you said, Knicks fan TV in the offseason and everything, we'll get into it more in depth. But I would keep my eye on those four players if I'm a Knicks fan, if I fall out of the top four.
So to everybody in the chat, once again, hit that thumbs up button for you boys. Knicks lose 123-108 in the return match against the Sixers. Shout out to a couple more super chats coming. Corey West says, scary thing is to keep Tibbs, you have to question how many guys in the league would love to play for him. I think his own players are starting to question his decisions and inconsistency. Christian Cruz says, Tibbs won't be the coach going into 22-23. He created the foundation on D, but it's clear as day X's and O's on offense have been atrocious. Let's see. Israel Ramos says, I don't understand Tibbs' obsession with Alec Burks. I think Tibbs is in love with him or something. No reason why he should be playing him 30-plus minutes. Dr. Block, the Puss Australian Super Chats, is putting my hand up to be president of the Miles McBride Fan Club. Give the 21-year-old minutes, please, Tibbs. Shout-out Corey West. Again, says, a point guard would not solve the issue. You need a coach that knows how to bring the best at the players mentally and physically. Seeing Tibbs play the same lineups, have his own players questioning the system. Okay, shout-out Corey West, man. Shout-out Corey West. Okay, back to the phones we go. We'll take another call and then get into our prize picks of the night. Let me go to the wine god, Mosel, in here. Mosel, what's going on?
Hey, CPJD, you guys can hear me?
Yeah, loud and clear, man. How you doing, bro?
Cool. That's fantastic. I only just called in because early this year I called in, I believe, after preseason game one. And I jumped all the way out the window. I said, we're going to win like 50 games.
You come
yeah,
back.
Well, I just wanted to say that, you know, I was wrong. You guys keep up the good work and have a good night.
My man, Mosel, the wine god, called back to say, yo, man, I was wilding, my bad. Hey, man, we all were, man. I have not heard from Reg from Brooklyn. I think his name was Reg. The man who challenged JD on the 50 burger term. JD, at least you show up every night. My man Reg is nowhere to be found no more, man. What happened to that guy? Reggie.
Oh, yeah, and he was definitely making sure he was making that point.
Oh,
he
was
called show after show.
Every show.
And that was his intro.
Yeah.
First and foremost, I'm the guy who said 50 burger. I'm the guy who said they're going 50 wins to win the Eastern Conference Finals.
He always threw those subs. He's like, so I just want to make that clear. And I was always quiet. I'm like, my man, I'm not in a competition. I'm good.
Yeah, who in the chat remember that guy, man? Reg was always on it. Reg was always on it, man. Can't make it up. Absolutely cannot make it up, man. Yeah, shout out to Mosel, man. He came in quick, rapid fire, and just let us know that, you know,
When we started 5-1 and you saw SportsCenter, you saw everyone using the burger.
Yeah.
When somebody had a good night, Jason Tatum 50 burger, everyone was hyped then.
Yeah.
But now I don't think everybody's so excited to claim it.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. It's been a tough year. It's been a tough year, but it's always a good year for Knicks Fan TV, ladies and gentlemen, because big announcement to make tonight. We are doing another group event. Another group event featuring Knicks Fan TV, Knicks Omni Fan, CPJD, and the squad. This time we are going to Knicks versus Hornets on March 30th. Knicks versus Hornets, March 30th. The next group event, we have tickets in the 100 section, and they're also going to be in section 113. You're going to get exclusive pregame shoot-around access, plus free throws are back, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, get a chance to shoot a free throw on the MSG court. Knicks versus Hornets, man. RJ, LaMelo, Miles Bridges, all of that. It's going to be a great event, but I'm telling y'all right now, the tickets are very limited. It's not like we did with the suites because we're in the 100s now. There's only about 30 tickets left right now. So I'm telling you guys right now, if you guys want to go to this event with us, you got to get these tickets ASAP. Because they're going to be gone. I'm going to put the link in the chat right now. And go ahead and get it. Go ahead and get them if you want to come through, man. But like I said, it's going to be seats in the 100s. Pre-game shoot around. You get to be on Knicks Fan TV Live, me and JD. And then free throws. Free throws are back. So if you want to take a free throw on the garden floor, it's a great package, great event to be at. And you can go to theomnifan.com. I just put the link in the chat, theomnifan.com. And that is March 30th, Knicks versus Hornets. All right, TM, just grab that link and we'll throw it in the Nightbot. But these tickets are flying off the shelf. We just launched it just a few hours ago, and 10 tickets have been sold already. So we're down to 27 tickets left for that event. So if you guys want to go, you got to get on it fast. And it's probably even less because we got to reserve our tickets and they got to reserve theirs. So it's even less tickets than that. So definitely get on it. All right, back to the phones we go. Michael White in Ohio. What's going on?
Oh, I'm mad at you. Oh,
man.
You know what? Yeah, I'm mad at you, man, because you're really, really unfair to Obi.
I understand that you think
that he doesn't fit with the team, and when he got drafted, you know, he didn't get to play like Halliburton got to play last year. But my thing is this, when Obi's on the court, even if he's not scoring, the team isn't going in tails. They play really good defense and they play together.
You're never going to have that. Michael, they've been hunting him with Tobias Harris these past two games, man. He's the weak link in the defense. I'm just being honest, man. I want all the kids to do well. I ran off all the hives that I've been a member of in the past couple of shows, man. I want to see all the kids do well, man. But I'm tired of overrating all these kids, man. He needs so much to be a good player. I just don't see him fitting here right now. I don't see it. Tobias was crushing him tonight. They were going at him every chance they got. What am I missing here? Still there? Hey, what happened to him? Michael, you speechless? You still there? Check one, check two. He's still on. I don't know what happened, man.
That response.
Yeah, I don't. Maybe he just didn't want to hear it. But I mean, bro, where am I wrong here, bro? Where am I wrong? What have we seen sample size to tell you that he's anything more than a role player? He needs so much right now. He needs an up-tempo offense. He needs a point guard to constantly get him in the pick and roll. He's skittish in the low post. He's skittish at attacking the rim. Where am I wrong? Where am I wrong? Defensively, weak link. Two rebounds tonight. One rebound, sorry, correction. One rebound tonight in 15 minutes.
Yeah, it's kind of the same thing I said with IQ in terms of one of the concerns when certain players need so many circumstances around them to happen for them to maximize their talents. You know, it's okay for a role player. Like for IQ, I understand it. Like he needs to be off ball, needs to be more of a spot up guy or stuff like that. You put him at the one, might expose him. I get that because he's not a lottery pick. So you don't expect, you know, IQ to turn into, you know, whoever. But Obi is a lottery pick. Now, it's just been so weird with the Obi situation because you're right, CP. At the same time, even defensively, like, you know, you're guarding Tobias. He's guarding a three. You know, Obi can't guard no threes in this league, let alone he struggles at his position, you know. So him getting cooked by Tobias, I mean, I'm not surprised by it. I don't even get mad at it because it's like, you know that. Let's do something to hide him or let's match him up on someone else. Matching up on Tobias, what do you think is going to happen? So, and then offensively, I don't even know. You see, like Ari says that a lot about him standing and shooting threes and the Knicks not using him the right way. I wonder, though, if at this point, first of all, the head coach is Tibbs, so it's a lot of stubbornness, even if he felt that there was a different way to use him. But I don't think Tibbs even has confidence in Obi being used in pick-and-roll situations because we just don't have the point guard regardless. So it's one of those things where is Obi a type of player that you change so much just to get him to score 6 or 8 more points?
Right.
You know, it's different with RJ where you totally change it. Now you see RJ is actually the lead guy. He's the feature guy. But there's a lot of incentive to that. There's a lot of upside to doing that. It can change the whole dynamic of your whole team. But does giving Obi a few pick and roll plays, you know, will he even get clear? Because we've seen it. Like tonight. Tonight he was missed a lot of times. I saw, you know, Reddish missed him one time. IQ missed him a few times where he had his hand up and we miss him. So the whole Obi thing from a personnel, from the head coach, from the scheme, it's just all discombobulated. It's tough to even evaluate him.
That's what I'm saying.
And then he needs a lot of improvement himself. Like even if we do everything that he needs, he still has to prove it.
Yeah.
That's the question.
Josh B, Obi Toppin is a 6'8 center that's being forced to play in 3 and D. You guys, i.e. delusional fans, have to give it up with the Obi stuff. Okay. Then Pyro Poppy says, did y'all see Obi in college? Yeah, he was a small ball 5 who had the floor completely spaced and tailored for his game. This is not the situation right now. Completely different. Completely different. I don't think it's hate. I think it's a realistic analysis of where Obi's at right now. So to everybody in the chat, once again, hit that thumbs up button for you boys. Jay, let's get into our prize picks of the night, man. Shout out to Prize Picks, the presenting sponsor of the show, Daily Fantasy Sports Made Easy, man. Prize Picks is the overs and unders game. It's an over and under game where we pick 2 to 5 players and predict whether or not they're going to go over or under the stats that Prize Picks lays out on a given night. So it's just you versus the house. Very easy to play. You go to prizepicks.com or you can download the Prize Picks app and enter promo code KFTV for a 100% match on your deposit of up to $100. And here's where I went tonight, JD, on my Prize Picks. I had a couple of good ones, couple of duds, man. Tonight, I'll just run off my picks right now. I went with Buddy Hield over 17.5 points against the Pacers. He finished with 17. I missed that by just one bucket. Pacers beat the Magic in overtime. I took Mikal Bridges on the over. Phoenix playing the Portland Trail Blazers. Blazers one of the worst teams in guarding wings. You have no CP3, no Devin Booker for the Suns tonight. So I thought that this Bridges over 16.5 points would hit. Right now, I don't know where the game is in terms of quarter, but he's got 15 points. So I think it's probably about third quarter. He should be able to hit that, and I should hit. I also took Harden again tonight against the Knicks, man. Over 42.5 points, rebounds, and assists. Finished with 44. CJ McCollum has been on a tear since joining the Pelicans. I went with over 2.5 threes from McCollum. His threes have definitely increased since he's gotten there, but he only hit 2 tonight. I think he was about like 2 for 6, 2 for 8 tonight. So it wasn't good. And my lock of the night, RJ Barrett, over 4 free throw attempts, man. I mean, the RJ free throw prop has been pretty much a lock, even though, you know, some nights he might not hit. Tonight he was on point. Tonight he was 7 for 8 from the stripe. So he hit the over on 4 attempts. So on this sheet, I should have 3 out of 5. And then I picked another sheet where I got 3 out of 5. I got Donovan Mitchell over 25.5 points. He finished with 37 against the Rockets. I missed Drew Holiday. I had him under 17.5 against the Heat. He actually played well, had 25 points tonight. Darius Garland coming back from the back injury. I took the under with him against Charlotte. Charlotte have been defending point guards pretty well over their last 7 games. And Garland torched them over 40 points, rebounds, and assists. So I didn't hit that. And then I had the Harden prop and the RJ prop again on that one tonight. So 2 sheets, 3 out of 5 each. And that was my night tonight, man. How'd you do?
Unfortunately, I wasn't able to get a ticket. And I missed the Knicks game. So then I just say, you know what? But I had it written down in terms of I was going to pick 3 outside players and 2 Knicks. I was going to go RJ. And I was thinking Fournier in terms of going the under. But I was going to go with Jared Allen at over 15.5. Just like the matchup against the Hornets, big men mismatch, and he had 18. So I would have went over there, and I have here, I was going to take the 8 o'clock game. I had Rudy Gobert at 12.5 rebounds. He had 17. And Donovan Mitchell as well. I was going to pick him on the points, rebounds, assists. I don't know what he ended up with, but you said he had about 30-something points, so I know I would have hit the over there. It's just when I was doing some stuff, and I checked, and the Knick game started, and I'm like, oh, I forgot to put my prize pick. So
there were you in a friend's name with a.
So it looks like I might have gone 3 or 4 out of 5.
Okay.
I don't know how Fournier did, but nevertheless, play responsibly.
Absolutely.
Play the game. It is fun. And, you know, test your research skills, I guess.
Yeah.
And your luck, because a lot of it's luck as well.
That's a fact. Always do your research and play to win, man. Play to win. All right, back to the phones we go. We're going to take a couple more and then get up out of here. Let's go with my guy Tom from Huntington. Tom, how you feeling?
Gentlemen, good evening. Fantastic work as always.
Appreciate it.
Shout out to, of course, Manscaped and Prize Picks. Manscaped, the chapstick lip balm got me feeling like LL Cool J tonight. But as far as the game is concerned, it's like I feel like I'm watching the same game every night. Literally the same game. It's just frustrating watching it. But then again, you know, on the bright side, you know, it's all about the tank now. Sometimes I just don't get it. What you said earlier about Tibbs coming back next year, I have a feeling you're right. I have a feeling, even though I'm not happy, I know JD's going to make a face. It's like I think they're going to bring him back. I really do. I think, you know, the fact that he came in with this management, they're going to bring him back and give him another shot, especially after the success he had last year. Even though I think it's crazy considering the epic failure that they've had this year. And, look at tonight. I mean, it's just – I mean, I don't know how many times I'm going to keep saying it. I sound like a broken record. What did McBride had more rebounds than Fournier tonight? What did he play, 1 minute? Like, it's embarrassing. And I'm not even picking on Fournier because, You know, I know defensively he struggles, but, you know, the guy can light it up sometimes. I think he, games like tonight show you that he might just be a better as, like, a bench guy, bring him in, play 15, 20 minutes, that kind of thing. But I don't know. But anyway, listen, you guys, rapid fire, have a wonderful evening. Thank
sure.
you for taking my call, and we'll talk about it next game when have a similar situation.
Appreciate it. Appreciate it. Miles from Las Vegas. Miles, what's going on?
What's going on, fellas, man? Thanks for having me on, man. Big fan of y'all's show.
Mm-hmm.
I know the popular narrative right now is to build around RJ.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think he's that guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's been pretty hot these last few games and, you know, a couple weeks, and he's putting up numbers, but it's not resulting in wins. And I guess you can blame that on Tibbs, the way he's used, or the offense that's built around him. He's a prober. I don't think he's really that efficient of a player. He's not dynamic off the bounce. He's not a dynamic passer. So I think it's hard to build around him. So I think he's a good player. I think he's a starter. I just don't think he's the one that you build around.
Well, I don't necessarily think you were saying build around, but just a piece you can build with, a piece that can help this team win games. You know, he's not going to cover up for all the mistakes of this team. Certainly not going to play defense for everybody, but I think we've seen a good stretch from RJ, man. That gives you confidence that he could be a piece for your team going forward. You know, I think
no
that's
doubt.
What right now.
Yeah, no doubt. I think he's a starter in the league. I just think, you know, if you're banking on him being option one, 1A, one, you know, maybe he's a 1B, but if he's option one, I don't think you're a really competitive team in the playoffs. Just the way his game is.
All right.
Yeah, so that's all.
All right, I'm going to drop you off here, man, because there's a lot of tomatoes coming your way in the chat right now. It's getting ugly for you right now, Miles. I'm going to just drop you off right here, bro. Appreciate the call, man. I have to let him go, JD. Chat was getting anxious, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We got to do this thing like Showtime at the Apollo. If the chat's not happy, I got to turn it to the Sandman, bro. I got to drop you off right here, man. This is your stop.
You're looking out for his safety,
I'm looking out for him. You know what I'm saying? I want to make sure that he can call back and still be in good graces. But the chat was getting real, real aggy. I had to let him go. After all that, he's hating him. Oh, my God, Broadway just dropped 46 on Jimmy's head the other night, man. What are we talking about? 24 Sunday, 30 tonight. He's putting the team on his back, running and gunning with the second unit. He's throwing the Gotham lobs over the top to Mitchell. What are we talking about? He's not dynamic in anything that he's doing. Did you see the fake dribble handoff and when he took him baseline and slammed it on him?
How about this? How about the little James Harden-esque little beep, beep, beep move that he did on James Harden himself?
You saw that.
And then he went to the basket, got fouled, hit the two free throws.
And
that's
and
the first
Harden
time I've seen him
James
do
Harden.
That.
Yeah. He pulled the
first
James
time
Harden
I've seen
on
that.
James Harden. Yeah, man.
Listen, you look at Paul Pierce, right? He's had some comparisons there in terms of being able to develop into a player or compare him to a player that never had those physical abilities but became a very good player. And they still built around Paul Pierce. Like, just because they got Kevin Garnett, Ray Allen, yeah, you could say Kevin Garnett was a better career player. Ray Allen was a better shooter. But the idea was that was the way that they built around Paul Pierce.
Right.
Get him a shooter. Let's get him a dynamic big man. Now you had your big three.
Right.
Right? Because in the end, Paul Pierce was a big, you know, big part of their championship, and he's the guy that they went to. So you could find a similar situation here where the Knicks build around RJ, but there could be a player that's a better player, but it's still around the idea of you're building around RJ, and RJ is your featured player. So you look at Paul George, you know, Paul George is with Kawhi, but they're not winning without Paul George on
right
there.
Right.
You know, you seen it, right? Clippers choked and this and that. And what people say when they talk about the Clippers going to the playoffs, it's not about Kawhi. It's about Paul George.
It's about Paul George.
So RJ can have a similar role for this franchise in the near future.
We're trying to build a team, man. We're just trying to build a team that can win games.
Everybody's so worried about who's the
who's
one.
The
and
guy?
All this
who's
stuff,
the guy?
Man.
Who's the guy? We're just trying to build a team, man. I can't knock a thing that this guy's doing right now.
he's playing with that much confidence and playing that well. I don't know. I can't really knock it. David Sway on the Discord. David, go ahead and unmute your mic.
CPJD, you guys hear me?
Yep, loud and clear, man. How you feeling, bro? Where you from, man?
Everything is good, man. I'm just called in trying to give some positivity to the chat.
Where you calling from, man? Where you calling from?
We are currently in the perfect storm. We have a bunch of young pieces. I just want two things to happen this offseason. Either use Obi's contract to move up in the draft or use Obi's contract to move off of Noel. Once we do that, we have a whole bunch of young pieces that would work lovely together. I'm talking about RJ, Cam. And even though he's not that young, Randall is 27 and is still in his prime. So I think he's going to work nice going forward. And I have a sleeper point guard that we haven't been talking about this whole time.
Mm-hmm.
We got to pick up Colin Sexton this offseason.
Okay. I think the Sexton thing is interesting because, number one, the injury, number two, the rookie max. You know.
100%. And since he's injured, he's not going to get that.
Right.
So
we
could pick him up as a sleeper.
Yeah, I never know. What do you guys think in the chat, man? We were definitely on the Sexton thing earlier this year.
I'll listen to you guys know.
Yeah, we were definitely on the Sexton thing earlier this year. Wilson Deng says no. We got a lot of no's in there. A lot of no's.
If Tibbs is back, I don't want to take a risk on any player coming off injury.
Right.
Because Sexton might not make the first 20.
Yeah, right. I mean, like I said, I think there's other options out there I would like to look at.
I will say this, CP. He mentioned using Obi as a piece to get off Noel, to get rid of Noel. I don't know if that's good business, taking a lottery pick just to get, like,
no.
And to get
not
the
when
call
the guys out, can roll off your books in that year. I don't think they'll be that desperate to do that.
Right. And I'm sure he probably would mean to get, he's not here to kind of counter, but I'm pretty sure he also means, like, you know, use them in a trade for us to get something out of it. You know, in other words, if it's just to use Obi just to get rid of Noel, I can understand maybe if it's Fournier, but if it's Noel,
yeah,
like, man, we got to use Obi to get rid of Noel.
No, that's an expiring contract. I wouldn't necessarily.
That's
going to
be a bad reflection on the front office.
I wouldn't necessarily do that. And then the second thing would have to be a sign and trade as well. Remember, the Knicks don't have salary right now, salary cap space.
So you can't use Mitch there because they got their own twin towers,
right? So that's out of it. So now you're looking at McBride, Grimes, Cam, picks, plus paying him.
And the most important thing too, out of that, he's not a point guard, so.
Right,
the scoring guard. So, but you know, he can he's definitely a scorer. In the
he could definitely go get buckets. But again, you're paying. You're definitely paying something. Ari, what's good? Let's go.
Hey, what's up, guys? You guys hear me?
Yep. How you feeling?
All right, man. Listen, dude. You know how I'm feeling. I'm feeling fantastic right now. We got the L. All right, RJ played well. listen, you know, in the beginning of the show, man, you know, everyone was freaking out. Dude, this is exactly what we want, man. Like, listen, I'm just going to be honest, dude. We could talk about 50 Burger, all that stuff. Even if we had 50 Burger, we weren't going to win anything. This team needs talent, bro. We need talent, all right? And it's all a blessing in disguise, all right? Tibbs, keep him. Keep starting Alec Burks. Let him play 30 minutes a game, whatever. Whatever he's doing. He's lost 16 of the last 19 games, all right? Things cannot get worse, and that means things cannot possibly be getting better for us, all right? Keep your eyes on the prize. Don't worry about the day in and day out. We're trying to build and get talent on this team, all right? And also, what I'm trying to say is the more we keep on losing, the more ridiculous stuff Tom Thibodeau says, and, like, the more ridiculous the rotations, the more likely it is he'll get fired. So this is all good stuff, all right? It may be frustrating. It may be very frustrating, but it's good stuff, man. Because we're gonna get a better draft pick. We're gonna purge ourselves from Tom Thibodeau, and this is all a blessing in disguise, man. So I'm very confident. I'm feeling pretty good about where the direction the team is going because I think it's all gonna come together. Now here's the thing, CP. Can't bring Tibbs back this year, bro.
Exactly.
Like you. you ride this tank, bro. But then the second the whistle's up on the last game of the season, you fire him like in public, like on the floor, like you're gone. Like where you don't even let him go to the post game, you fire him. All right, you cannot have him back. And here's the issue. Here's the real issue of next season. Reddish and RJ are going to be up for new deals, okay? So you want to feature them. You want to see what you have in them. You want to evaluate them, and you want to run plays for them. The problem is that you're trying to get Julius Randle and Evan Fournier off his damn team. So that means you have to play them also, and you have to give them minutes. So if they just listen to what I said last year, don't extend Randle. Don't throw money at Fournier. All right, if they just listened to what I said, we wouldn't be in this position. But no, everybody else knows better than me, right? I don't know what I'm talking about, right? Listen, man, everything I said from the Randle signing, the Fournier signing, whether these were team-friendly deals, everything I said the entire time has been right. All right, so you can give me one in the chat. CP, you can argue me, blah, 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 all this stuff. I've been proven right the entire damn time. My resume speaks for itself. Ride this tank. Ride this damn tank. All right, fire Tibbs. All right, and then trade Randle. Even if you trade him low, trade him because it's addition by subtraction. Addition by subtraction. That's my take. Peace.
Ari, out of there. Rate that call in the chat right now.
The caveat to what everything he said would be the whole Tibbs thing. If Tibbs is here, then you know you didn't see McBride. You didn't see RJ and Cam, which, you know, we all want to see that. They shown the chemistry, so you want to see if that could be a potential tandem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, RJ got the opportunity, and he's proving that he can be, you know, a main guy in the future. How about RJ and Cam? Could that prove to be a nice tandem? And also their friendship. You know, Cam seems to enjoy playing with him in the small minutes that they played together out there. But here's the thing. If Tibbs is back, then, you know, Ari's point about getting talent, yes, we get talent, but if that talent is not playing or being utilized correctly, then to me, then it will fall on the front office.
Yeah, I agree with that. I definitely agree with that. I just think, and stranger things have happened, and anything could happen. You know, there's no guarantees that he stays. There's no guarantees that he goes. I just feel like for this brand new regime who handpicked this guy, the guy that they had the best relationship with, for them to can him the second year after what they did last year, I just don't see them doing it that fast because that also expedites their clock with the guy above them. You know what I'm saying? I just don't see it. I think they will look to, again, improve the team, whether it's through the draft, whether it's through acquisitions, free agency, trade, whatever. And if this thing continues to go that way and, you know, during the course of next season, then, yeah, I think he's gone. I just don't know if they can their guy like that right away. I don't know. I don't see it. And not to call you up, people pointed at Dwayne Casey. Dwayne Casey was with the Raptors for years before he got canned. You know, they used the Dwayne Casey thing. Well, he won Coach of the Year. He was with them for like 6 years before they got rid of him because Masai didn't think he could get them over the hump. Dwayne Casey was with the Raptors from 2011 to 2017. So that's a false equivalent. You can't use that to compare the Tibbs situation. Completely different.
And the wild card in all of this, CP, I think it's going to be Dolan. How does Dolan feel?
That's fair.
The front office could have their certain perspective and argument to continue to buy themselves time, but that William Wesley meeting with Dolan is going to be – that could be the turning point. And sometimes you go to the owner with – and here's the other thing that people are not talking about. Why did William Wesley have that conversation with Tibbs? Was it Dolan asking for answers?
Wes is like the little finger of the whole thing. Anybody watch Game of Thrones? He might be wheeling and dealing in the background. He might be angling for the top spot.
I'm just saying, because if everybody's on the same page and we all understand that this is about, you know, a five-year plan, and Dolan understands that this is about Johnny Bryant, and Tibbs is a stopgap, and we're building, and we just drafted Obi. We didn't know Randall was going to do this, so give us more time. We're developing. RJ, Mitch is in the contract year. It just seems odd to me that you would need to have – you would need to go to the owner mid-season in year two of this tenure. Like, that's just – that just does not sound right. So is Dolan already unhappy? Is because Dolan listens. Dolan listens to the fans.
That's right. That's
Remember,
right.
Dolan was on Michael Kay. He was like – everybody told me, Phil Jackson, you guys wanted a high guy. I got him, guys. I took a step back, and then and he's admitted himself that, you know, listen, basketball, I love the Knicks, but in terms of his just knowledge of identifying certain things in the game, he says it's not all the way out there. It's like, you know what I mean?
No.
So what he does, he listens to people. He reads articles. So that Dolan's a wild card in this, because William Wesley doing that tells me that there may be a little bit more pressure, a little bit more giddy up. And if that's the case, then I could see the front office saying, you know what, we're going to have to move to Bryant sooner than later because the owner's not happy, and we're going to have to expedite our plans. And if we see that Tibbs is not it, and I have to show Dolan that this lottery pick next year can be it, then you got to bring a coach that's going to give those guys the opportunity to show the owner that you know what you're doing.
That's fair.
So it's going to be interesting.
Definitely going to be interesting. Definitely going to be interesting. So to everybody in the chat, once again, hit that thumbs up button for you boys. CPJD on the ones and twos. Shout out to Nick him up in the chat. Says KFTV still going to Miami March 25th. I got a conflict on that weekend. I can't make it at that point, but we'll definitely try to do it next year, man. Definitely going to try to do it next year. Get out to Miami, do some more live on locations. Even though, you know, playoffs were terrible last year, the Atlanta meetup was definitely fun. Summer League is back on and popping. They have released the Summer League dates, and that is July 7th to the 17th. They haven't released the schedules as yet. The schedules will get released probably like a week before things kick off, but Summer League will definitely be on and popping this year, as we did a couple of years ago. So that is something that we'd love to see everybody out there and meet up in Vegas, because Summer League is always a great time. Pay a flat fee, or you can watch basketball all day. It's a great deal. See a lot of the rising stars and the second-year players out there playing. Summer League is a good deal, man. So I think Summer League will definitely be on. Miami trip postponed. And, stay tuned for everything else, man. All right, wrap it up with the closer, Jay Boogie. What's going on?
Salute, salute, salute. Three capital S's. Shout out to everybody in the chat. Hope everything is healthy and safe and everything with you and your family. Blessings to you all. It's a great situation that you continue on rocking with this orange and blue. And shout out to my squad, my GM, great man, general manager, the young Lloyd Banks, and shout out to my man, the young Griselda, you know what I'm saying, JD, Sports Talk. Shout out to my man on the ones and twos behind the scene. We don't get no scenes, EG. Shout out to you, you know what I'm saying? Y'all already know who I am. I like that take you just dropped, Ari. I give you a 4.5. Reason why I only give you a 4.5, I hate that word, tank. I can't stand that word, tank. Point blank, period. See, I'm the type of person, I don't wake up in the morning, you know what I'm saying, and tell myself I can't go feed my family. I can't go get no money. I don't feel blessed about the day. I don't know how to lose. You got to beat me. That's just how I'm bred. All that tank, I just can't see giving up for what? Quitting. Telling somebody, you know what I'm saying, you won. That's not my style. I hate that word tank. I got to get on my man, my GM, and I got to get on my Griselda, JD, for 1 second. How in the world y'all leave Rod Strickland and Mark Jackson off them tapes? I don't understand. And I understand the big man, well, not the big man, the tall man. He went up out of here out of the long way. How we leave Bazingas off that team? As if he didn't shock the city when he came here. I don't understand it.
He's on the team, man. I went with David Lee over Porzingis. You know, Porzingis, the whole Porzingis exit, just I didn't like it, man. I went with David Lee, man. I went with David Lee on the bench.
Y'all got eight players. Bazingas don't be on the bench?
You know, we were going with 10, but then we were like, 10 might be too much to figure out who really had the best team. So we really went with 8, like a strong starting 5, and then, you know, your 6 man and a couple's off the bench. I had the best team, but, I give credit to JD and Al for, you know, coming in valiantly. But, you know, a Starberry, Earl the Pearl, with Ewan in the backcourt, you got Mason, your multidimensional star. I mean, come on, Jamal Crawford off the bench. My team was way too much to handle, way too much to handle. But go ahead, man. Go ahead with your picks.
I feel you. I just had to throw those names out because one thing for sure, Rod Strickland got so many babies in the NBA, point blank. He got 5 babies that's in the NBA that come out from under that wing, you know what I'm saying?
That's true.
So I wanted to give him some love, you know what I'm saying? But another thing, let's move on topic. Mm-hmm. JD, you're right. The offense got to get it right. Y'all think it was a fluke a couple of weeks ago when I aired Leon out? Nah, dude, you got to get this right. This is all on you, dude. It's on you. You know what I'm saying? This whole situation is on you. You ain't done nothing here. Nothing. It was just mentioned a little while ago. You didn't draft RJ. You ain't signed Julius. You blew this cap money. You ain't made no trades. You ain't done nothing here. Mills laid all this down out for you. What have you done since you've been here? This draft right here is on you. And God knows, if we get somewhere at 4 and 5, and that boy Ivy is still on that draft board, and you don't break the neck to trade up to go get him, you need to immediately get up out of here. But while I'm talking about Ivy, let me share somebody else with y'all. You know what I'm saying? It's another young boy. He's 6'7", point guard. He's a 5-star. He came into this league in college. He's a freshman. He's over there in Nebraska. This boy name is Bryce McDowens. He don't gave old boy at Wisconsin a business already. You're going to see him again. Pay attention to him. He's 6'7". He's lethal point guard, and he's 40% from the field goal percentage. I don't want to hear nothing about Tata. You know, why Tata ain't even at the New Jersey Nets game? I don't want to hear nothing about Tata. You know what I'm saying? If he was in that draft last year, he wouldn't even been in the first round, point blank. This right here, this draft pick is so trash. If you can't come out of college this year and get drafted in this first round right here, you need to continue on staying in school and go ahead and get your college degree and go ahead and prepare and have a professional career somewhere else. That's how trash this draft is. That's how much short period of time you got, Leon. You must get this draft right here right. It is mandatory. This is our future. This is the only way you can fix things in New York to make us feel any better about this season. You need to pick and bring the right person in here. I'm not worried about the contract to be traded and everything. You must get this point guard situation right on this draft. That's the only thing I'm asking for you. That's the only thing you need to do. You owe that to us. I need to see that boy Ivy in the backcourt with RJ. That's a nice tandem. By any means, you need to go get this guy. Don't act like you did with Lonzo Ball. Didn't want to give up no draft pick. You still holding picks. For what? We still got picks. What are you trying to do, the Boston Celtics thing? You need to get the situation completely right. You know what I'm saying? That's the only thing that matters. I don't even be watching these games going on no more right now because I can't stand to see what's happening. I can't stand the situation, what's happening with this team, man, knowing that we came off a momentum that we were supposed to continue on rocking, continue on doing what we're doing, and we did not do nothing. We came straight through and laid down, you know what I'm saying, all because you wanted to play games and go get somebody for a story. You know what I'm saying? We don't need no stories, man. I told you before, we're going to buy them all City State jerseys anyway. We're going to go sell out the Garden anyway, so you don't have to trick us. Get the right format and the right players to be inside this Garden so we can really feel good and we can see the team moving forward and stop playing games with us, man. Stop playing these trickery games with me, man. Please, you know what I'm saying? And one more thing, to that boy over there, Oklahoma, yo, stop coming in our city trying to take all these pictures and posters like you want to come here. If you want to come here, get like my man that's over there in Philly. See, I respect James Harden, not once, but I respect him twice when he told Houston, get me up out of here. When he told New Jersey, get me up out of here. You want to come over here, tell him to get you up out of here. You want to go to New York, but stop playing games with me and stop playing games with the organization. Stop playing games with the podcast. Stop playing games with the chat. Stop playing games with us and get over here if you want to come over here. If not, stop mentioning our name because we can handle our own business sooner or later on our own. We don't need nobody faking with us, you know what I'm saying? Keep it real with us. Salute, salute, salute. 3 capital S. Man, excuse me for my hoarseness, but I got strip throat because I've been laying down so many tracks. You already know I put out that Obi joint. I did that for the All-Star game. I just finished the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. It's the RJ commandment, but I'm not letting that go. You can wait on that for next season. You know what I'm saying? That's straight fire. But God bless everybody. Everybody continue to stay healthy and safe, and be grateful for who you are, and be grateful you got a job. Be grateful you got a roof. And when you wake up in the morning, go to be a winner and don't be no loser.
And like that, another five-star call from Jay Boogeyman. You don't even got to rate that call in the chat because it's already five. It's already fire. It's already bars. To close
you're James
the
Dolan,
show.
And you just heard that. How do you bring his back?
That's a fact.
How?
That is a fact.
This pick is that important. Guess what? If Tibbs is here, he ain't playing.
Jay Boogie putting him on notice, man. Jay Boogie putting him on notice, bro. Salute, man. Good show. Tough loss. But we keep it pushing, man. Number one show for the fans by the fans. Hit that subscribe button. Hit that notification bell. Great show to the mods. TM, Keith Sinclair, everybody in the mods chat holding it down.